They shoot the artillery. You know what the cavalry is? They rode horses. Does that sound fun? Yeah. But we're in the Lord's army, right? So we don't really do those things, but what do we do in the Lord's army? Did you know that we get to wear the armor of God? What's the armor of God? What's part of the armor of God?
God will protect us.
God will protect us.
And the Bible.
And the Bible, you know what the Bible is? The Bible?
God's Word.
God's Word, that's right. And we have the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, right? The belt of truth, what else? Go ahead, help us out, adults. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, so our feet are covered.
Belt of truth,
breastplate of righteousness,
shield of faith,
sword of the Spirit, right? So that's the weapons that we carry and the things that protect us, and God protects us. So that's what we get as part of the Lord's army. So those are the things we get to put on, and that's what going to children's church and even going to your school, because you both go to a Christian school and you learn about the Bible and you learn about Jesus every day, and going home you learn about Jesus. So those are the things, right? And the birthday boy comes in. All right. So guys, look here, real quick, look here. All right, so those are the things that we're learning. So you guys are ready to be in the Lord's army, okay? You're being prepared. Let's pray, right? Let's pray. Jesus, help us to be prepared for your army. Help us to be prepared to march into battle and to live for you every day of our lives. We thank you for it. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, give me a high five, hug, handshake, whatever you got. Oh, I love that hug. Hi, Shu. All right. Nope. Come down. Graham, come here, buddy. Give me a handshake. Come here, Graham. Come here, buddy. Oh, whoops. All right. You guys ready for Sunday school? Ready for? All right, birthday boy. All right. Head for children's church, guys. All right. Let's give them a hand. Yay! Have fun in children's church. Love you guys. All right. All right. I love kids. I was telling the Sunday school class, I love kids. I love to send kids home. I love kids if I can send them home. That's what I said. I said that when I was raising my own kids. They're wonderful. But I loved it when I could send them home, but I had to send my kids to my home, so it didn't quite work the same. But I'm going to be a great grandpa. Not a great grandpa, but I'm going to be an amazing grandpa because I can send the kids home, see? So that'll be great. I got to tell you, something we've gotten away from in COVID is the giving time. And I have to tell you, giving is part of our worship. Amen? Amen? So we are going to work giving back into our service, but right now we've got the basket or the boxes on the back walls, and you all are faithful in giving. And it's not that we need to make that a part of our service because of any reason, except to just say that is part of our worship, and we want to be sure and give that a part in the service because that is part of our worship. We're to bring the tithes to the storehouse, and that's how we're instructed. So this is part of our worship, and so we're going to start taking time in the service just to pray over the offerings and tithes that come in. And because we believe that that's part of our duty as the leaders of the church, we need to pray that the Lord will give us wisdom how to distribute the funds and how to best use them. We need to be wise stewards, first of all, but also as you give, that the Lord will bless you in your giving, because that's part of the giving as well. And so this is part of our worship. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and we appreciate it. But we're gonna say a prayer over the offerings that are received, and then we're gonna watch a short video, and then we'll have the message, and then we'll go home. Sound good? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you've blessed us. Even during this time of COVID, you've blessed each one of us, and you've continued to provide for our needs. Father, likewise, you've provided for the needs of the church through the giving of your people, and we're grateful for that. So, Father, as we give, continue to give a portion back to you, and as we're obedient in giving, we pray that you would continue to pour out your blessings on us. And Lord, I know there's a lot of concerns around with inflation and supply chain issues and all of these things, but Father, you've continued to provide for your people, and you've continued to meet our needs. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings that you give to your people as we're obedient to you, and we give back a portion of what you've given to us, and we thank you that you bless us and provide our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Watch this short video, if you would. There should be sound with it. Is the channel muted?
Man, believers dedicated to being an agent of spiritual growth, health, and healing, who foster diversity by encouraging all to be who God called them to be. Nothing more, nothing less, both as individuals and a congregation. Imagine a gathering of people who so value the redemptive process that they refuse to shy away from the realities of sin, death, and hell, but quickly and readily share the cure for these curses, along with the hope found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior. Imagine a committed collection of Christ-following individuals set on walking the straight and narrow path, leading others along with them, all the while illuminating the darkness of our world with the urgency of those who realize time is short. Imagine a congregation carrying out the vision of the church as laid out by Jesus himself. This is what we want to be, say, and do. This is Greg, Green River Assembly of God.
Amen. That's the vision of our church, and that's who we want to be. That's who we want to become and what we want to do as a church. So we want to lay those things out, and you'll remember that a few months ago I kind of introduced that statement, imagine, and I got a little help from the pastor of the big church in Casper to do some voiceover work for me, and he helped me with that. But we want to be salt and light to Sweetwater County, and that's what we want to do. So Green River Assembly of God is called to be here for more than just a club meeting. We talked a little bit about that last week. We're not just here for us four and no more. We're not here for just the ones who meet under this roof. We're not even here for just those who tune in each week on YouTube or whatever. We're here for a bigger purpose, and that purpose is to reach Green River and Rock Springs and Sweetwater County with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and maybe even beyond. And I think if you look at the flags in our mission hall as you walk in, you'll see that we are reaching beyond Green River and Sweetwater County. We're reaching much further than that. Last week, we talked on Pentecost Sunday that we're called to go in, the disciples We're called to go into Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So we're called to go to our immediate area, our surrounding area, and then the ends of the earth. We're called to go much further, and we are doing that to an extent. And I think we're doing pretty well as far as reaching the globe through our missionaries and our missions programs. And I'm happy about that. We need to keep doing that. And part of our giving is to missions. We give a large chunk of our budget to missions, and we encourage each of you to budget to give to missions above and beyond your tithes. That's part of what this church has always done, and we ask you to do that. That's why we have those flags up. Each one of those flags represents a nation or an area that we support in missions, and we have missionaries on the ground that we support personally who are reaching those areas. So if you weren't familiar with why we have those flags up, that's why we have those flags up. I'm happy that a church this size supports that many missionaries and has that many missionaries in that many countries. That makes me happy. But what are we doing here? What's happening in Sweetwater County? And we are reaching some places in Sweetwater County. There's an organization called Inside Connections that reaches young moms and old moms too, but we speak for the unborn. A lot of people, Planned Parenthood and many other organizations, would push young moms to think of a child as an inconvenience in this day and age, and say, if you get pregnant, an unwanted pregnancy or an unplanned pregnancy, you may as well just kill the baby. Let's punish the baby. And Inside Connection would take issue with that and would say, you know what, that's a precious life. We support Inside Connection. We also support Traveler's Assistance Program. And so people who are traveling through and they break down, we give them a place to stay for the night. We can help with car repairs to some extent. We can help them get a meal if they need it, things like that, just to get them on their way. We help with folks who are down on their luck. We do benevolence to some extent as we're able as well. There's some agencies that we help with. But there's much more that maybe we can do in our own backyard. And so last week we spoke of Pentecost Sunday and the Holy Spirit, and we are a Pentecostal church. The Assemblies of God is a Pentecostal organization, and we love Pentecost. We love the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times we get this idea that the Holy Spirit is just about speaking in tongues in the Assemblies of God and a lot of the charismatic organizations especially. We just kind of go with the tongues thing. And I just want to maybe broaden our horizons. And I know a few weeks ago I said that we would be jumping into a study on the book of James starting this week. I would like to ask for your forgiveness, because I think we're going to just kind of stay with this Holy Spirit and theme for now. So we'll jump into the book of James, but it's going to be a little bit later down the road. I want to stick with the theme of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times we in Pentecostal circles and maybe even especially the Assemblies of God get this kind of one-trick pony mentality where it's just about tongues. Just about tongues and interpretation or that kind of thing, and nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Spirit is much more than tongues. Everybody say amen. The Holy Spirit is about power. The Holy Spirit is about empowerment. And it's not empowerment for the sake of empowerment. It's not empowerment for the sake of the show. It's not so people can look at us and say, that's weird. Or it's not empowerment so people can look at us and say, that's cool. It's not even about that. It's empowerment for the sake of furthering the gospel. Amen. That's what it's about. It's about evangelism. And so last week, we talked a little bit about the empowerment. And you remember in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit was promised. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came on a room of people, of believers who were all in one accord. They were all in the upper room. They had been praying and they had been seeking. They had been seeking this gift that they didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, I mentioned how these tongues of fire showed up, and they could see these tongues of fire, and that represented the power of the Holy Spirit. And I talked about how that came from the Old Testament, how the power of the Holy Spirit reigned in the temple of God himself. It was in the temple, and it split, and it came out, and all of a sudden, they saw these tongues of fire lighting on top of each one of the believers' heads, and that represented the power of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit becoming each person. So we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit is the symbolism there. And that's an exciting thing. I don't care who you are. So the Holy Spirit comes on us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in other tongues. And yes, that's a cool thing too, because a lot of people heard the gospel in their own language. These guys didn't know that language. That's pretty cool. So that's where we get this whole tongues thing, and that's a great miracle, and I believe in the miracle of tongues. I believe that God still moves that way, and the Holy Spirit still works that way. I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it. I believe that. But that's not all the Holy Spirit is about. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and so as we look at Acts, we move on through the book of Acts. In Acts 3, we see where after this great miracle, Peter preaches this sermon, and 3,000 people are added to the church in one day. 3,000. Wow. What would we do? I don't think we could house them. Be pretty. Be pretty cool. It'd be a good problem to have. We could figure it out, right? They didn't even have microphones back then. Suppose Peter was a little horse? Okay, I just had a funny visual of a horse. Sorry. Okay, so Peter preached this great sermon, and 3,000 people came to Christ in one day, and then people were added to the kingdom daily after that, and then, if you read on in another chapter later, Peter and John are walking to the temple a day later, and this lame man is healed, right? And so as he's healed, he gets up and he just loses his mind. He's leaping and dancing and praising God, the King James says, and he goes around, and he had been lame for a long time since birth, and so everybody knows this guy. Everybody who'd walked by had seen him, and all of a sudden he's up and dancing and leaping and praising God. He goes into the temple and he's healed, and so people are gonna notice, and it causes a ruckus, and somehow Peter and John get arrested through all of this. Long story short, they can't hold them forever, so they release them as the believers are praying, but they tell Peter and John, you can't talk about Jesus. Peter and John say, we can only talk about what we know. We know Jesus. We're going to talk about him. They release them anyway. They go back to the believers. They say, we've been instructed. We can't talk about Jesus, but we can't stop. And the believers all prayed. They were scared. And as they prayed, it says the power of the Holy Ghost came, and the room they were in did what? Shook. The power of the Holy Spirit came, and the room shook. You know, some of us, I think it'd be a miracle if we shook. if the power of God just shook us, maybe if he moved us a little bit. Because I think some of us are so stuck in whatever we're stuck in that, man, we don't even move. We haven't experienced the power of God in so long that we're just, I've heard the old cliche, the chosen frozen. I don't even know if we're frozen. I think we're just stone. So what's going on? The power of God used to show up and it shook rooms. It shook places. It did things. And somehow here we are 21 centuries later, 2,000 years later, somewhere around there, and we've decided we know it all and God quit doing that, so we'll just take it by faith. God help us. My Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can't he still do that? Can he not? Why would he quit? Jesus said, you'll do greater things than these in my name because I go to the Father. How does that translate to the Holy Spirit stopping with the apostles? I don't get it. I've shared with some of you that I've seen some pretty amazing things, and it had to be God because it couldn't have been me. And it certainly wasn't the people that I was standing beside her, the people that I was hanging out with. Had to be God. God still moves. He still does stuff. Will you let him shake you? I wouldn't be opposed if he shook the room. But will you let him shake you? The Holy Spirit and. It's not just about tongues. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit isn't just this enigma that shows up in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, was present at creation. Did you know that? John 1:1, we talk about this a lot. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And by the way, the Word was God. There is no denial that Jesus was and is God. Amen. And the Word became flesh. Amen. Right. So Jesus is God. You can't deny that based on Scripture. If you believe the Bible, you have to believe that Jesus is and was and will be God. Has to be. But what we miss sometimes is the Holy Spirit. We sometimes get in this mindset that Holy Spirit showed up in Acts 2. It says that the breath of God was over the earth. The pneuma of God is the original language. That's the Holy Spirit. The pneuma. The breath of God was present at the creation. And that's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was there. You can see the Holy Spirit all through the Old Testament as well. He empowered people then too. You can see where he empowered somebody to build the temple. He empowered him. He gave him skills that he didn't learn to be able to build the temple. Engineering skills, it looks like. If you go back to, I believe it's in Kings, where the Holy Spirit came on a guy and gave him supernatural gifts to be able to build and do things with his hands to build the temple. You can see it in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was present then too. He didn't just show up in Acts 2. He's been present and active. It's not just tongues. It's not just the gifts that we get and we read about in the New Testament. He was present. He empowers us. He enables us. He teaches us. That's what the Holy Spirit's role is and has been from the beginning of creation. He's been active, church. So as we think about the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit and It's not just all of this ethereal, spooky stuff that we think about. There's some actual hands-on, amazing things that the Holy Spirit did through followers of Christ, through followers of the living God, all through the Bible. You can see his fingerprints from start to finish. But we start reading about him specifically in the book of Acts. Acts is named the Acts of the Apostles. Maybe it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But we see where he shakes a room in Acts 4. The power of God shakes the room as they pray. So the Holy Spirit and prayer. Because the believers are praying for John and Peter, and Peter and John are released, and they've prayed for it. And then the outcome of the prayer is that they're praying. And then Peter and John show up, and they pray, and the place is shook. But before that, they're all a little bit confused. They're all a little bit afraid. And so what do? They pray. It's the first thing they do. They pray. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, in Acts 4:24. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. They prayed. Prayer is spiritual communication with God, expressing our vulnerabilities to a trustworthy God. It should consist of praise and it should consist of petition. My life verse is, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your petitions known with thanksgiving. That's what I live by. It's what I try to live by. I don't always succeed. Sometimes when I get worried, the first thing I do is not always pray. But it should be. It's what the believers here did. They got worried. They prayed. Our prayers don't always have to be perfect. They don't have to be impressive. They don't even have to be King James. Oh, thou, O Lord, art my shield and buckler. Does anybody know what a buckler is anymore? Talk to the Lord the way you talk. He knows. Amen. Even though we don't all have the gift of interpretation, he does. Amen, Ron? Amen. Our prayers don't have to be perfect. God understands our prayers. He understands our hearts. I heard a Christian comedian once say that things were really bad once, and he got to his bedroom, and just as he opened his door, he hit his knees and slid to his bed. And before he even finished sliding, his prayer was, help, God! He said God heard everything he needed right in that moment. I believe he did. We need to lift our voices. We need to pray. Prayer should be the first thing. When things get bad, when things get worrisome, prayer. And we're looking at everything in our society, we should pray. Maybe then we'll see some rooms shake. Maybe at the very least we'll see ourselves shaken. Maybe we'll see our circumstances shaken. And then maybe the Lord will use us. Do you know that He can use you when you're humble before Him? How many of you desire to be used by God? Right on. I hope that's all of our prayer. I think He desires to use us, but we have to be at a spot where He can use us. But let me tell you a little bit about Peter and John. It was a process. They walked with Jesus for a while, and they didn't always get it right. Jesus had to correct them along the way. He had to build them into that. And you know, Peter's last act before Jesus was crucified? Denial. He denied Jesus 3 times. Before that, he cut some guy's ear off. Thought he was doing something noble. And Jesus just picked up the guy's ear and probably rolled his eye at Peter as he put the ear back on. That's how I picture it. That's my opinion, Ron. Peter was a mess. So am I. The Lord's still working on me, but He still uses me in spite of it. He can use all of us. And even as messy as we are, as wrong as we can be at times, the Lord still picks us up, dusts us off. And I'm still waiting for the time that maybe the Lord puts me in front of thousands of people and we have 3,000 added to the church. Or maybe I just get to witness that and one of you guys does that and I just get a cheer. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants to use us. But we've got to get this idea that the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's not something that we need to be afraid of. We don't need to be freaked out by Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of Him, and we don't need to worry about what gift He's going to give us. You know what? If you speak in tongues, that's fine. He's got a purpose for it. And the Assemblies of God holds to the idea that tongues is the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's fine. But they hold to the idea that that's the initial physical evidence. I've talked to a lot of Assembly of God higher-ups and lower-downs and everybody, and not one of them says that has to be the end-all, be-all. They say that the ones who still hold to that say it's the initial. They say that just is the evidence. Then what he does after that is just up to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of other gifts listed there. You may never speak in tongues again, or you might. That's what they say. But the point is that's the Holy Spirit's prerogative. Our job is to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and say, I trust you, you do as you will in me. Amen? So it's the Holy Spirit and the first job is to yield ourselves and to say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. I yield myself to you. Do as you will. And that comes through prayer. So the first step is we pray. We need to become people of prayer like never before. We do a lot of things, and I have a very political mind. I get very worked up about some of the things going on in our world. And many of you probably know my political views and how I lean. It's neither here nor there. My political leanings are based on God's word. I believe the word and God, the word of God first and foremost. So if the word of God says something, then I'm going to stand by that, regardless of whatever political party I happen to be listening to says. And if they're in conflict with it, then I'm in conflict with them. Plain and simple. I have a heart for the poor. I have a heart to see the needy taken care of. I have a heart for the unborn. I don't agree with murder. So I'll stand on those things because my Bible tells me that murder is wrong. Tells me that we need to care for the needy. We need to care for the widows. We need to care for the orphans. We need to take care of those things. But that said, I can put a lot of time and energy into certain political activities. And where the rubber meets the road is, am I putting that much energy into my religious convictions and my spiritual disciplines? And I came to a point a few years ago where the Lord really convicted me because I was not. And it kind of shook me. Because in my mind, I thought that my political activities equated to my religious convictions and my spiritual disciplines. I had just twisted it around in my mind, so they did, is what conclusion I came to. And the Lord showed me I was wrong. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Not politics. And I alluded to this last week. I said, politics isn't going to solve our problems. There's not a perfect political party out there. It doesn't matter which way you lean. I think there's certain political parties that are closer than others, but doesn't matter which way you lean, there's not a perfect one out there. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not saying anything about anybody's standings as far as politics. I don't care. Whatever you do is what you do. That's between you and God. I'm just saying, first and foremost, get this in line. Serve God, yield yourself to him, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and he'll take care of the rest. Become people of prayer, and let's see if maybe God can straighten out our political mess. He will one way or another. And it may be with a new heaven and a new earth. Maybe. Not a doomsdayer, but I don't know if there's any coming back from where we're at without the new heavens and new earth and God's new kingdom put in place. We'll still stand for what's right, though. Just be sure it's based in the Word. Amen? All that to say, become people of prayer. Whatever your political leanings, whatever your social leanings, whatever your any leanings, be sure they're rooted in Scripture and base them in prayer, and let's see what God does. He might shake you. He may shake your party. He may shake your political party. Not if you're having a party. I don't know. He might shake your party, too, if you're having a party. If he shakes your party, you better invite me. He might shake a lot of things. But let's give him the chance. Amen? Amen. Let's invite God back in. So for the next few minutes, I want to make this a place of prayer. We're going to open up the front for prayer. If you need special prayer, I would love to pray with you. The deacons would probably love to pray with you. We're just going to put on some soft music and make this a place of prayer. We're 10 minutes early. Nobody needs to rush off, but let's pray for the next 10 minutes. And let's see if we can yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Just general prayer time. Let's yield ourselves to the Lord, church, for the next 10 minutes, and then I'll dismiss us here in about 10 minutes. this week as we close. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and prayer. And next week, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and evangelism and being empowered. But as we close, we're going to hear a song from the worship team that is a prayer for our church and for each one of us. And so as you remain in an attitude of prayer and praise, I just want you to receive the words of this song, and then we'll be dismissed at the close of the song. But just worship along with the song, or continue to pray, just whatever, but receive the words of this song as Glenda sings.
Jesus over you, in your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances which change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray I'm
Father, that's our prayer. We pray for miracles. We pray for power. We pray that you would show up and show out as we yield ourselves to you, not for our glory, but for yours. And we pray that you would be glorified in all things. And we do pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Have a great week. And we will see you Wednesday night. Come meet our missionaries to Italy. And we'll see you then. God bless. Shake somebody's hand. Be friendly on the way out.